I asked Peyton if he was thirsty, and he said, please tell me you didn't do anything like that again. It's not exactly the same. I'm pretty simple-minded. You guys know that. You've been around me long enough. Sorry, I'll turn this on. What is that? I lost it.
Is that on? On? Okay. I'm pretty simple-minded. I'm not a science teacher, but I act like one. But I've seen something in a movie here recently, and it really caught my attention. This and it's real. Refraction. It's called refraction. Ryan could probably explain that more than I can. But the deal in the movie that I watched, it really grabbed a hold of my attention, if you will. Can you guys read that through this cup?
No.
Okay, good. It's supposed to be a cell phone and a quarter inch away. I measured it at home. Can anybody read that through the cup?
Yep.
You can read it better back there. Okay, what does it say? Does anybody know what it says?
Now.
It says now. Good, I didn't turn it upside down. Now. Now is what most people live in, the here and the now. Most folks are worried about what's here and what's now. Folks aren't worried about the future. We're not focused on things to come. A lot of the church world's not worried about living for the Lord. We're just living in routine. We're living in day-to-day cycles. Maybe it was Ryan or Brother Joey said, you know, we go to work, we focus on work, we do our job, we go home. It's just a cycle. You know, every day is a cycle. The children of Israel lived in a cycle, ups and downs, backs and forths. They'd repent, they'd turn from the Lord, they'd repent, they'd come back, and they'd worship the Lord, they'd fall down, they'd serve Him. Something would happen, they'd turn their hearts away, and that seems to be in the cycle that we live in nowadays. We go through revivals, we go through camp meetings, folks are fired up. We're excited because we've had a new preacher in town. As Brother Mike says, they blow in, they blow up, and they blow out. You know, and we're blown up for just a Sunday or two, a week or two, and then our candle is blown out. We allow the world and the things of the world to inundate us once again, and we're not full of what we need to be full of. Now, with the cup empty, as we live our lives, you just read now. And this is the coolest thing to me, and it's simple, and maybe silly to some. But as we're filled with a substance, which I would like to call the Holy Spirit, it changes, doesn't it? It better have, because it did at home. What does it say now, Brother Josh?
One.
You and I, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, things should change. You know, God doesn't want to just fill us a little bit. If I'd have only filled that cup just a quarter of the way, it wouldn't have changed. Nothing would have changed. But He wants to fill us. When we're filled with the Lord, we're filled with Jesus, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, things in our life change. We go from living the here and the now to being one. And that's what I liked about that, the illustration of using that word. It flips it around. You're one. We're one. We're one, not only O-N-E, but we're W-O-N. We're one in Christ. We're one by the Spirit of the Lord. And you and I, if we're filled by that, there should be, as you guys can physically see that change, there should be a change. There are certain things, you know, scars don't go away. I've got a friend I've mentioned it before. He's tatted up all over. His neck's all tatted. And if you were to look at him with your fleshly eyes, you'd say, man, that guy's a heathen. He's wild. And he was. But he was saved by the Spirit of God. He was saved. He trusted in the Lord. And now I can visually see a change. Granted, those things are still there. But I notice a lot of times when he's out and about. Now, if he's at home cutting wood or doing all that, he's shirtless and looks like a wild banshee man out there. But when he's out in public and he preaches, he tries to cover up as much as he can. And if he was to cover it all, he'd have to wear a turtleneck, you know, that come up to here just to keep everything covered. But he's changed. You and I ought to be changed. As we read God's Word, the Word of God tells us to be a changed people. It tells us to be a peculiar people. I had two things in mind, and I'm going to try to mingle them together because they're not of unclean seed. They're clean things to talk about tonight. But my mind was up and down about being filled, because that's what we ought to be. When we leave this place, I pray that we'll be filled. But this is a filling station, is what I've heard of the church being a filling station. But it's our job, it's our duty as we go out, I think, to pour it out. Not to pour it out and be empty vessels for the use of the world, but the use of the King of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pour out that Spirit that the Lord indwells us with onto other folks, don't we? That way we would come back to the filling station where we're new vessels ready to be filled again. We're not to keep that in. I don't think at all we're supposed to keep the things of God in. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very, very well-known verse, like a You know, I like to tell folks, and I've told you guys, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not going to give you anything that you don't know, don't understand. But things like this, I really, really enjoy. It really, like I said, it spoke to me. It really spoke to me. It was a secular movie, but just the thought of being filled changed it. And I thought, man, that there's how does that even work? And I asked Nicole, we tried a bigger jar, and it didn't work with the bigger jar. It had to be the right. It had to be the right size. I guess it had to be the right thing for this to work out like it did. And so she figured it out. And just as well as this having to be right, you and I, we've got to be the right vessel. We can't just be a vessel of dishonor and God use us for the kingdom of heaven. We've got to be a vessel of honor. We started out with an empty vessel. God can't, well, I'm not going to say He can't, but He desires an empty vessel that doesn't have anything else in it. That way He can use it. He can fill it with Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know it's somewhat simple, but Lord, I'm thankful that the Word of God is simple. The truths of God is simple. Salvation is simple. For all who would call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's the simplicity of it. And Father, we can believe that. We can be saved. Father, we can be renewed. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can go out, Lord, and we can show that to other people. And I pray that be our heart's desire, Lord, tonight as we just talk about the Word. Father, as we go through the Scriptures and speak of God's Word, I pray it open our hearts. Lord, it would convict us just to be filled, to desire to be filled. And Lord, that our path would stay a straight path, Father, a pathway that leads to that straight gate. Father, I pray that be our desire tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 5, the Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, verse 1, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. We're burdened. You and I are burdened every day, aren't we? It is not difficult to be burdened in the hour that we live in. You know, but this is, the things that are happening now, they're not new. They're not a situation that God has caught by surprise. You know, we could focus on a number of things that we read, we hear, but I read in the book of God, in Genesis, as you spoke about earlier this morning, Joey, God created all these things, and when He was done, He said it was very good. His creation was very good. The earth that God has created is very good. It's the presence of sin that causes a dysfunctionality, that causes a wicked society. But God's creation is very, very neat. We've traveled, each one of us have traveled. We've been all over, some of us the world, some of us just the country. But God's given us beautiful country here. But the presence of sin creates a problem for all of us, doesn't it? For we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan. We're burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now He that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I preached a lot on it matters what you do. The Bible just tells you there's another spot. We could go through and pick out all the spots, and it'd take us quite a while, but there's another spot where God tells you it matters what you do. We're going to be judged whether we do good or whether we do bad. We will be judged on both things, both sides of that fence, if you will. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Going to our verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Are you and I in Christ? I know we're in the building, the building that we claim, that we call the house of God. But are we in Christ? If you're in Christ, God's word says you're a new creature. You're to be a new creature. All those old things pass away. And behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now think about that. It's easy for me. It's easy for you. We're quick to judge, aren't we? We're quick to point fingers. We're quick to cast folks down. I know I have been. And I prayed and asked the Lord for help about that. You know, so-and-so knows better. They go to the house of the Lord. They go to church on Sunday. They know better. We're easy to kick those folks. I work with folks. I work with men. I've worked with men that go to church on Sunday and party on Friday. They live like the world on the rest of the week. And I've been there as a young boy. I thought it was cool to go hang out with the world and do worldly things all week and live like an idiot. And then you can show up to church on Sunday just to fulfill a duty. And it was empty, wasn't it? It was just as this glass. It was emptier than this glass. It was that lifestyle as empty as it can be. But God has given us a ministry, hasn't he? A ministry of reconciling others. I believe that's the call of Christ. We've talked about many calls, I think many charges. You know, some are charged to get up and preach and teach the gospel in front of other folks. Some are called to be missionaries. There's a host of callings, but there is a call on the Christian's life to reconcile others, to go to others, help others. Now, some folks don't want to be helped, but it's still my job to go and try to help them. To wit, that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the heart of our God, is that men and women should be reconciled unto him, right? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All of them. All of our friends, all of our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, each one. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I was reading in Proverbs. I hadn't been in Proverbs in a little bit. I'm not sure why, but I've just been reading a little in the Old Testament, coming through up from Genesis, and then I've been through the New Testament a few times. But as I was in chapter 4 of Proverbs, as I think of the path that you and I are walking, that, you know, we stray as non-believers, don't we? We stray. We listen to everything. We believe anything. You know, there seems to be no solid. There's no straight path. You know, I've got friends that'll listen to, as the Bible calls it, every wind of doctrine. They want to grab a hold of every little thing and not just the simple truth that God has given, that we must believe on him. But as I was reading through there, I'd like to read the chapter because it's full of a number of good things. But there's a word that stuck out to me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? That's the simple truth of God's word, that if we'll use his word, our path will be lit. No matter how dark it gets out beside of us, no matter how wicked men and women seem to get, no matter how many choose to fall away, how many walk out the doors, we can stay fast in God's word. We can stay lit by the things of God. Verse number 1 says, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. There's a lot of wisdom going around and has been for centuries that some folks just don't like to listen to, right? Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't do that. And most of the time, we in our flesh, we will do the exact opposite. If Paul did the exact opposite, I guarantee you that I'm going to do the exact opposite. That's the nature of our flesh. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, forsake not wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. There is a right path, isn't there? But there's also a wrong path. Brother Joey spoke of those things. You know, each one of us have an appointed appointment. We've got an appointment to be born. We've got an appointment to face certain cycles in life, times in life, adolescenthood, things that men and women go through when you're teenagers. There's a time in a man, woman, boy, or girl's life where the gospel will be brought forth to them. I believe the Lord God Almighty will call them through His Spirit, and you've got a choice. You've got a path to take at that point. You've got an appointment, whether you're going to go to the right, you're going to follow the Lord, or you're going to go to the left, and you're not going to follow Him. We each have these appointments. We've each got a choice on what path that we're going to take. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, think of that, the world sleeps not, except they have done mischief. I know there's a host, probably an innumerable host of men, women, folks in this world that will not sleep unless they make someone else's life miserable. Unless they're causing hate and discontent and grief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Think about that. God's given us what's going to go on. It's always gone on. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new thing that would take Him by surprise. And God gives us just exactly what you and I are to do. But the path of the just. There is a path of just men. The Bible gives us a host of spots to look it up, to study it out. There's a path of unjust men, and there's a path of just men. That path of the just is as the shining light. If you are on the path for the Lord, if you are on a path of a just, righteous life, your light is going to shine. It's going to. It has to. That's the only way that you'll be on the right path, is by the light of God shining through you. That shineth more and more. And if you are, if you sense yourself, and I know that we've been there, Brother Joe, you've talked about that. Many have talked about that, where they felt cold. Things have become a little indifferent. And if that light is dimming in you, there's a way to come back. There is always a way to come back. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. It matters what we say, doesn't it? God's word tells us right there, it matters what you say. It matters what comes out of your mouth. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder, think on the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. You know, I know a lot of folks, and we've preached this, we've taught this, we've heard this here at Oak Lane, I've heard it in camp meetings, I've heard it spoken, taught, but before I ever heard, I went to a church and I was raised in a manner that you could be saved and do as you please. Once you're saved, you're always saved regardless of what you do. That's what I was told. But as a young man, I never could get around that. I never could let that be in my... For me, it didn't make sense. I thought, how in the world could someone ask the Lord into their heart and go out and live, and I'm going to say the word idiot, live like an idiot, live like a rancid human being, and God say in the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is not a good and faithful servant. Is it? It's not. I never could grasp that. There's a path that we must walk. The Bible tells us straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That path is becoming narrower and narrower to the world around us, isn't it? Because those old ways, that's just an old book. That's archaic. But it's real and it's truth. And can I give you some truth tonight? We've had truth. Brother Joey preaches truth. Brother Ryan preaches truth. The Bible tells us all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's truth. Now, that's tough truth. That's hard for many to believe, and that's not popular. You'll not go to a big mega church. You'll not go to most places, and folks receive that and accept that. But if you and I are going to live in the truth of God's Word, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way that He has called us, and the path that He's laid forth, Jesus walked a very, very straight path. Each one of us know that here. But if he's going to walk that path, He desires that we walk that. He commands that we walk that path. We're going to suffer for that. I've seen that. Ryan, we've talked about it. We've seen it. You've seen it, Brother Joy. Brother Brian, everyone in here that's walked for the Lord has seen persecution. Now, none of us have been shot at, I don't think. I've not been shot at. I've not been hit yet. I've not been slapped. I've not been kicked, spat on. And I pray for the Lord's grace and mercy if we ever have to go through that. But God's Word said that that is going to happen. And I've seen bits and pieces of persecution. Nothing just wild, and no one's called to push me off a cliff or hang me from a noose. But what if that day comes? Will we stand firm? Will we stick and stay filled with that Spirit? Will we? Will we be one, W-O-N, by that Spirit, and be one in Jesus, staying that path? I want to turn to one last verse, and I know this hasn't been long. This hasn't been just something new and bright. But I want to keep us where we need to be. We need to stay close. We need to. I need to stay close. Brother Joey spoke it very, very well. There's an appointed time where Charles will take his last breath. And when that time comes, I want to be ready. I want to stay ready. I used to, when I was on the road, we lived fast. We worked fast. We worked hard. And I always I had a guy say, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And that's, in my Christian walk, I'd like to stay ready so nobody can catch me, and then I got to get ready. You don't want to be caught having to get ready. Those five foolish virgins, they were ready at one point, but they didn't stay ready, did they? All of them had a lamp. All of them had some oil, but they didn't have enough. I want to keep enough. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. I don't want to take nothing out of context, but I really, as I'm thinking of keeping the path, striving. The Bible says to strive. If Paul strove for the mark, for that calling, for the prize, you and I are going to have to strive. We're going to have to strive. There was false Christ, false teaching, false gospels. There was philosophy. There was vain deceit in those days. We're removed 2,000 plus years. And men and women, the church, if you will, has learned to have service with no Holy Spirit. I have not ever, we've felt the Spirit move in this place, but I've never seen anything like what I've been told. I've never seen a host of people. I've seen a couple in the last few years that got on their knees and cried and like a little baby, excuse me, to ask God to forgive them. What if we seen that all the time? And not just cry out and ask Him to save them, but to continue. And hey, maybe God calls one of us away or a few of us away. Are we going to continue? If Brother Mike is called away, are we going to continue moving down the path that we're moving in now? The church has gotten closer. The fellowship has gotten sweeter. The Spirit has begun to move more and more in our services. And I pray with everything in me that God will continue that work in us. Because things are getting dreary. Things are getting a little darker. But the path can stay just as bright as it's always stayed. We're to shine more and more as we see that perfect day approaching. Verse 22 says, Behold, therefore, the goodness, Romans 11, 22, Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Listen, if thou continue in His goodness, we must continue in God's goodness. We must. We're going to have to. Listen to the last line. It says, Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Firm till the end. If we will endure to the end, what does the Bible tell us? If we'll endure to the end, we'll be saved. And enduring isn't... I think of Ryan sometimes as he's in a classroom with some of these kids and students in some of the situations he told me. And he must endure. There's enduring most days. You've got 2 months left. We were talking this morning and he says, can't we just quit now? We're almost there. But he must endure another 2 months, right? There's what I can't do the math. But we have a few more months, and Nicole is going to have to endure through however long the labor is going to be. And then we'll bring forth a child. But there's going to be some enduring. I've never heard any woman say, that was the greatest experience of my life. I can't wait to do it again. I can't wait to hurt that bad. I've never heard that. But I have heard them have a child. Things change almost instantly when they see that baby. And you give them a year and a half. And she says, I got to have another one. I'm ready to endure once again. And therefore life is brought forth. You and I, in order to see the life, the birthing of the church of God, we must endure. And I believe that's why God's Word speaks of birthing pains. And the way that it lays those things out. Because there's going to be some hurts. There's going to be some pains. But if you and I will stay firm, if we'll come to this place, I don't think it just has to happen at this place, but I see it happen more here because we're here to worship. We're here to grow. We're here to read. We're here to eat. We're here to feast on the Word of God. And as the bread of life is broken, you and I can eat. We can partake as much. I don't want to say the word, but I'm going to say the word glutton. We can be a glutton after the Word of God. He'll allow us as much as we're willing to take. But I pray that your heart's desire will not just to stay in the here and the now, right? That's not God's desire for us. That's not. Regardless of what's going on. Regardless if our cars are broke down. I've had cars break down. I got left stranded the other night after spending some money and had the truck worked on, and I was mad as a wet hornet. I was frustrated. I was really frustrated. And I thought, you know what, Lord? This is just a thing. Don't let that ruin your testimony. You sure I'd want to kick the fender, bust the window out of it, and just leave it sit. But not anymore. We don't have to be like that. We can be filled, and you can stay filled. You know, granted, like I mentioned, I want to be filled and not just hold it in. I want to pour it out, and I want to go get filled again. But keep coming back. Don't just come here. Do it in your own time, too. I believe that if we'll seek the Lord behind closed doors, as His Word says, He'll reward us openly. And I see that. I've seen it a number of times in our church. Those of us being rewarded openly by seeking God's face on more than just church time. They do it in their own time, too. Father, thank You so much. Lord, I don't know the hearts of those in this place. I feel like I know a few things about the hearts of those that are here because, Lord, we have a core family that continues to come. Lord, that stays faithful here, Father. And I'm not at all insinuating, Lord, that coming into this building keeps us saved or saves anyone. But, Father, it's so good, as the Word of God says, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Father, as the manner of some is, Father, there's a manner of men and women, churches, Father, that don't gather, but maybe one time a week. And Father, some don't gather anymore, Lord. They're watching it on a screen. But Lord, as we see the day approaching, I pray that we'll not forsake each other. Lord, I pray we'll not forsake the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I pray we'll stay on the path that's always lit by God's Word. If we will stand fast, if we will hold fast, if we will endure till the end, Father, You said that we would be saved. And Lord, I pray that You'd grow us in this place. Lord, not because we are anything, but Lord, I believe the folks that are here tonight know that You are everything. And Lord, that they're willing to come to feast, Lord, on the things of God. And I pray that You'd strengthen us. Lord, if there be anybody here tonight, Lord, that needs prayer, I pray they'll take the time. Father, if there's anyone that has any kind of need, Father, if it needs to be brought to this altar, that we'll take the time to do that. But Lord, if it's just another night, Father, just to be brought into remembrance of the goodness of our God, to praise our God, to worship You, Lord, to testify of the goodness of the Lord. You've saved us. Lord, You've brought us thus far. You've got us in 2022 for a reason, and You've called us to be a shining light to those that are around us. And I pray today, this evening, that would be our heart's desire. Thank You, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for meeting with us today. And I pray tonight, Lord, You'd go with us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.